I want to talk to you today about Teresa and two Thomases. Teresa, a woman, young woman, going from the Sioux, the latter part of the 19th century. Teresa was a woman who suffered many tragedies in her life. Her sickness caused her to have to move in with an aunt early on in her childhood. And she spent about a year or so with an aunt in her up to about 4 years old. She was about 4 years old, her mother died, and her family continued to transition from one tragedy to another. During her first communion, Therese was observed to be crying as she received the Eucharist, and the family members asked, "Oh, what are you crying for? What's the problem? Why are you sad?" And they thought maybe it was because of her thoughts of her mother, her thoughts of her childhood, her sickness, whatever it might have been. But Teresa's answer was this, was that she suddenly had realized, receiving the Eucharist, she had this connection with this holy bread, the bread of life. She recognized for herself, as an eight-year-old, she recognized that now she had unity with the kingdom of holy men and women in heaven. She was now part of this banquet table in heaven as well. And she had this awesome revelation at 8 years old. She continued to be ill, continued to suffer many health problems. And as a young girl, a young teen, she entered the Carmelites. And then because of her health, she was assigned in a very simple task, very menial task, taking care of the sick sisters and the older sisters and doing the basic housework around the convent. But for her, that was a great joy, because she realized that in doing these simple tasks, these tasks that were not always the most pleasant tasks, and they certainly were not the most notable, she wasn't writing books or tomes or something of that nature, but rather that the fact that she was able to care for people, able to keep the place working, if you will, operating in very simple ways, in very, very humble ways, she was able to serve God and to serve those around her in very much the same way that simple bread and simple wine becomes the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Then we have Thomas Aquinas, our namesake of our parish. Thomas Aquinas was this throbbing brain of a man, and he thought in tomes of theology, intense theology, theology that one has to read three or four times to get a grasp of it. But Thomas spoke this way and thought this way and proposed the understanding of God, sort of allowed his whole life to be surrounding in these great intellectual thoughts and an understanding of who God continues to be for each and every one of us. And in doing this and in recognizing this and pondering the great mysteries of faith came to help us as well to understand our mysteries of faith. But we had the one song, Tenta Mirago, Sacramentum, Down the Adoration Falling, this beautiful, beautiful poetic song that we have that we use during adoration of the Eucharist. Again, for Thomas, while he had these great, great thoughts, these intellectual thoughts, this high intelligence, that his sense of knowing Jesus Christ in the Eucharist was something that moved him to understand and recognize also the beauty of what we celebrate in bread and wine made the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Then we have Thomas, Doubting Thomas, we read from today. And Thomas's eventual understanding of the resurrection of Jesus Christ comes in touching the wounds of Jesus Christ. Come and looking at this resurrected body, the wounds still visible, and the hands and on the side and his feet, recognizing and understanding that the body of Christ suffers, and in that suffering, we come to know the resurrection, the God's gift, God's bringing peace and salvation in all the world through the passion of his only Son, through the passion that we live in our lives as well, that even in brokenness, we can come to know the mercy and the love that God holds out for each and every one of us. And each of these people experience the body of Christ in very, very different ways. And they have these aha moments, these beautiful aha moments in their lives as they come to grapple with the presence of God in our lives. But in the body of Christ, in Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the Eucharist, they come to recognize that God continues to pour out upon us every blessing, every good thing. That God continues to pour upon us his mercy and his love. He shelters us and cares for us and guides us. We see that throughout the Sacred Scripture. That's why we look at Luke's Gospel, why the Canticle of Mary, such a powerful canticle that we read during evening prayer in the breviary. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, Mary says. Because I've come to understand that from generation to generation, God is faithful. From generation to generation, God doesn't smite us or flick us off the face of the earth, but rather, God draws us into himself. God safeguards us and guides us and guards our lives. And while we can be like squirmy little children that want to get away from God, God continues to reach out after us and draw us back. And when we sin, and when we are broken, and when we fail, when we fall, God is right there. And that's the challenge that we need to also have. The gospel readings today shows how difficult it is to sometimes believe in Jesus Christ. But as a community of faith, as faith-filled people, we pray for each other and we pray for one another as well. We bear faithful witness. The Eucharist teaches us something very important in our lives. It teaches us to hold out for those values, those truths, that goodness, to seek out those things that are above in heaven, to recognize that relationship, always that relationship that we have, that even as little children, that we come to know and recognize that there are certain things that are good, there are certain ways that we ought to act in, that we ought to be. The idea of respecting one another and caring for one another, offering compassion, holding out kindness. These are things that even little children come to understand. But we can't stay as little children because our lives, the world, doesn't stay the same as little children. We have to constantly search out the body of Christ. We constantly have to reflect upon our world in relationship to the faith that we profess. And if I'm professing this faith, if these are the things that I believe in, how does that affect, how does that cause me, how does that enter into my life in this particular situation? How do I bring my faith into the scenario? And the apostles in the early church, we'll read this in the Acts of the Apostles, continue to struggle with those various questions. Questions on sin and reconciliation and salvation. And even today, as our world constantly changes around us, how do we make present, how do we make real the message of our Lord Jesus Christ? And it's very important for us to do. Because the task of our lives is the same, is to make known the good news, is to share the reality that God loves us more than we can imagine, that the wholeness and the holiness of God builds us up as a unified edifice, as a communion and a community of faith. And as a community of faith, we are called to serve God faithfully by our words or actions or desires, but also to serve one another. What does Jesus say as he encounters the apostles each and every time? Peace be with you. That we are called not to bop people upside the head with the Bible, but to allow them to recognize and understand the peace and healing that Jesus Christ offers. Not simply a theology message, but also by our lives, by our working towards compassion and peace, by our striving and struggling for justice and peace, by are making present the Word of God, the compassion and kindliness of God, the healing of God through His Son, Jesus Christ, especially those who sometimes fall at the edge of society, the poor, the unwed, the unborn, those who are broken in mind, body, or spirit, those who find life difficult or overburdened by life, that we as a church are there to share good news, that we are called to reveal the way of God the Father. And the Eucharist gives us that strength and the courage to do that. It's a great comfort food for us, to be sure. But it's also a challenge for each and every one of us as well. That how do I use the words? How do I use my gifts? How do I use my talents to share the bread of life and the goodness of God, the mercy of God with my brothers and sisters as well? We do not have the opportunity that Thomas did to put our hands in the physical wounds of Jesus Christ. But images like this can help transform our minds without having seen historically Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We understand, we ponder, we reflect upon the wisdom of Christ's teachings, His message, His preaching, His life. We also, by our acts and by our decisions, we make known to the body of Christ, the body of Christ. We make known that the Eucharistic table that we gather around is a springboard that we are called and challenged to go forth and share good news from this place. That we hold dear to the best that we can be. And we have to, as a community of faith, not allow cynicism or despair to encroach in our holy lives. that through our prayer, through our faithfulness, through our celebration of the Eucharist, we come to call upon Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, that he might strengthen us for the journey that we are on. And just as our belief in our own resurrection grows in us and our old habits die, that we must also learn to share with one another what we have received, so as to build up one another, that we are in that place, that space that should shake with joy because of what we have seen and what we have heard, and to bear witness to one another and to bear witness for one another as we go forth from this place. We can forgive and teach others to do so. We can experience peace even in the midst of conflict. We can find reasons for faith when all around us seems to be in the midst of chaos and crises. We are servants. We are members of his body, sharing his resurrected life. So we proclaim faithfully, my Lord and my God.